242. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, in moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. You feel that way tonight? Oh, well, my Jesus is the sweetest. Lovely name. Oh, and
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Forgive me, I just realized I wrote down the wrong song for the musicians and myself. So let me find the right one. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we're human, but His presence takes care of all that, doesn't it?
Amen.
If you want to find it for me, it's page 88, The Haven of Rest. That's the song I'm looking for. Aren't you glad we got a place of rest? Sister was sharing some things with me after church Sunday evening. Monday, I got a text from her. She said, I didn't mean to say anything more than what I should have said. I didn't mean to overshare. Just give me a moment. Let me get back in my hammock. It's getting through, Brother Trevor. It's getting through. Aren't you glad we have a hammock? You say, that's irreverent. No. No, the anointed man of God preached to us and he told us about we just need to get in the hammock and just take our rest because God's already done the work.
Amen.
It's a finished work. So I'm glad I've got a haven of rest this evening. Sing with me if you would please. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. I was sober. With me. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Oh, the tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. Who
we stand as we sing.
How precious the thought that we all may recline like John the Beloved and blessed on Jesus' strong arm, where no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. Oh, I'll anchor my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm be deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, I'm anchored
in the haven of rest. Oh, I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild stormy deep, oh, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful that you have an anchor tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Wanted to just remind the young people again, no youth Bible study tomorrow, but we will be having one the end of January. And got a testimony we want to share. Sister Patty Hansel, we prayed for her uncle Ronnie, who was in very severe condition on Sunday night when we had prayer for him. But got the testimony Monday afternoon that he's off the ventilator and breathing on his own. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. God's good and answers prayer, and we certainly appreciate that. And have quite a few prayer requests tonight of those that are sick and not feeling well. Brother Darrell Layton requested prayer for Isaiah. He's not feeling well. Also, Sister Lori, the Sargent family, Brother Yarborough, all not feeling well. My little boy Nathaniel, homesick with a fever. So I want to remember him in prayer tonight. And then Brother Morris requested prayer for Zane and Charity's little boy Stephen. He's sick with a fever. And then Sister Colleen Dabney, that's Sister Debbie Pierce's mother. She's sick with some different complications, so we want to remember her in prayer tonight. And then also my mother, Sister Dottie, put in a prayer request, a special prayer for an old school friend of Dottie Bryant's. She has major health problems, so we want to remember that. And then I'd like us just to continue to remember Brother Don Marsh in prayer, that was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Want to continue to lift him up in prayer that the Lord will just move on the scene, completely heal him and deliver him. And how many of you tonight have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord? Amen. We know he's able to answer each and every one. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer? Appreciate the presence of the Lord here with us tonight.
Amen.
Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be here to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good that we have a rest, Lord, that we have an anchor. Lord, that we don't have to worry about whether we're right or wrong, but that we just, even Lord, sometimes our understanding can be incorrect. But Father, if we're trusting on you, if we're standing on the solid rock, then all is well, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring more revelation to our lives tonight. May you speak to our hearts, to each individual, Lord, to where they have need, to where, Lord, they can have a closer walk with you. Lord, for each request that's been read here, Lord, for different ones and each hand that was raised with a request behind it, Lord, you know every single one of those needs. And you're more than able, Lord Jesus, to provide. You're the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you're everything. And so, Lord, we just appeal to you and we lay these things at your feet, Lord Jesus,
yes,
and ask you to take care of each and every one of them, Lord. Lord, you're a big God and we trust in you. So come and anoint this service, Lord. Meet every need. We'll ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. The brothers can come. And let's turn to page 22. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me beneath the cleansing blood. Okay. The Lord gave Brother Furman a song, and Brother Furman's in Utah, but we're going to sing Brother Furman's song. He said he goes around the house singing this, and so he shared it with us, and it caused me to go around the house singing it, except I come up from a little bit different background than Brother Furman did. So my version might sound a little bit more Pentecostal than what his did. But we're going to sing it. Shall we stand? I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. Same key. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I'm made. blood. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I'm made of the stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. Tell your neighbor that I'm made of the stuff. Brother Furman gets back, we got to sing it his way, okay? Don't tell him I changed his song. Amen. Are you looking forward to the word tonight?
Amen.
That's what we came for, right? We came to hear God's word. And I believe that we're going to. As we sing that, I ask Brother Nathan to come at this time. Turn the service to him. I'm made of the stuff.
Don't bluff. I was made to overcome.
Amen. Well, I don't know if I can sing either one of their versions, but I can't hear the last part of that version that he's singing. Something doesn't sound right to me. So let's try it this way, Brother Joshua. Version three.
I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the word. I'm washed by the water of the word. I'm washed by the water of the word. 'Cause I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome.
Amen. You thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad for a Kentucky prophet that could tell us things like that.
Amen.
You're made out of stuff that don't bluff, and you can tell the devil that.
Right.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, as you can tell, Brother Arnie's sitting on the wrong side of the church tonight, so amen. There's a reason for that. I invited him a while back if he'd be praying about preaching for us this service, and so he agreed, and we've been looking forward to it. So I'm just going to invite him at this time if he'd come and just deliver whatever is on his heart for us. But as he's coming, let's sing this song. Amen. He reminded us a while back, if you're going to sing something, then we should mean what we're singing and think about what we're singing, not just sing it to be singing it. So when we sing this tonight, let's remember that his grace is truly amazing. Amen. I don't know where I'd be, but I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his grace. I don't know where you'd be, but I know it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his grace. Amen. His grace is amazing to us. Oh, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. For it saved an old wretch like me. You see, I once was lost. Oh, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see.
Why don't we sing it this way tonight?
Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh,
love him?
Because he first loved us. We didn't wake up one morning and decide that we were going to become a Christian. He already had that planned out, Brother Jimmy. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, he had your name written down.
Yes.
He had my name written down. I'll be all right. I'm just get a little nervous and so forth, but we're going to be all right because we're looking to him tonight. We're not looking to any man, no minister, preacher, evangelist, nothing of the sort. We're looking to him. He is our source, and no one can help us like he can.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's sing that little verse. Well, that's all right. Good song.
That's my fault.
No, that's all right. Well, let's just sing it, Acapulco or whatever they call it. Let's sing Praise God, Praise God. And then you can be seated as we're doing that. Praise God, praise God,
praise God,
praise God. In the house of the Lord again tonight, and they didn't have my little speaker that hangs on your ear or whatever, so I'm going to have to deal with this with the microphone. So I might try to carry it around, or I might just have to leave it there. But anyway, I just want to say right off the bat that it's really good to see all of you, but I don't have anything to offer you, not one thing. But all I can do and all any minister can do is point you to him.
Right.
So he is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it's really good to see the cream of the crop. And I really appreciate Brother Nathan inviting me to share with you, because I know any good pastor like he is always got plenty that he could share with you. And it's a bit of a sacrifice to have somebody else come in and talk to the people. But and sometimes it may even be a little bit risky. But he's fairly adventurous brother. So, but I'm grateful. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you. And I have a little something on my heart. Now, if you came tonight expecting Brother Nathan to have just returned from a trip to his cabin and so forth, like it sounded like that could have been what was coming up for tonight, but you'll have to come back Sunday for that. But, I feel like the Lord has given me a little something to share with you. And I just have a piece of bread and a piece of fish. And if the Lord, you know, anything you put in his hands, he can perform what it's supposed to do. So I don't have to concern myself with what people think or whether people, you know, are crazy about my personality or my delivery or whatever. It's not about that. If somebody brings you a beneficial message, you don't look at the vehicle. You look at that message, see? So one person might do a better job than someone else. I'm not half the preacher that these other brothers here are. But I have the same message. And the message is what this is all about. And the message in one word is Christ. That's what the message is. It's not theology. It's about God's grace. And I have a little book at home. It's of theological terms. What good that is. But I just picked it up in a thrift store. And I was just curious about what was in it. So I brought it home and looked through it a little bit. But I looked up the word grace in these theological terms. And there was about 15 different kinds of grace. They've got irresistible grace, common grace, simple grace. And then I ran across one that caught my eye. It said special grace. Now, these are theologians, whatever, who are saying this, but their definition was a grace that's given to God's elect. And the theologians called it a special grace. Amen. Now, we're not going to tell people that. I mean, you know, you don't flaunt something. But, you know, if God says it's true, then it's true. You know, if he says it, then I believe it. But a grace that's given to God's elect. I'm not going to tell anybody. I have something you don't have. La-da-da-da-da. I mean, we just don't do that. I'm just glad for God's amazing grace. And I've told people over the years that I only have one message, and it's a message of grace.
Yes. Amen.
That's all you've been hearing from this pulpit. That's all that I've heard from this pulpit is grace. G-R-A-C-E. It can be spoken in a lot of different ways, but that's the whole crux of this message is God's grace to mankind. And I believe my favorite verse of scripture that kind of wraps up the message of grace in a nutshell is Philippians 2:13, I believe it is. And it says, it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yes.
So he causes us to want to serve him, and then he equips us to do it.
Yes.
He gives us the strength and the understanding and the revelation that we need to perform his will. And that's the only thing that we need to pray for is, thy will be done. Because we all have wants and wishes and desires, but they may not amount to a hill of beans if God isn't in that. I'm old enough now that I've watched a lot of ideas come and go, but the message of grace, we've only scratched the surface. That's the way it is. That's why I almost laugh when I hear theologians spouting off like they've got kind of an edge on God because they know the Bible in and out. But they're just scratching the surface. And actually, that's more or less what we're doing. But the difference with the bride is that we are part of that word. We're not just reading it and studying it and trying to memorize it, learn it. We are part of the revealed word for this hour.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, it's an astounding statement. She is him. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty amazing to me. Well, I love the Lord tonight, and Brother Branham said, the only way that I know that I love him is that I love you. And I can say that by God's grace, I love other people. I love God's people.
Amen.
If you want to know where you stand with the Lord, step back and take inventory of how you feel toward God's people and how you treat them and how you react and respond to them. That's a pretty good thermometer right there. But it's nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Amen. Well, I want to share a few verses of scripture with you. It's in John chapter 14. If you want to turn there, well, you can just keep your seats, stand up in your heart, and I want to share a few verses from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I want to begin at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And this is the verse I want to focus on. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Amen. Let's speak to him for a moment. Lord Jesus, we appreciate your presence, and it's a real honor that we've been able to go through these holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Lord, Thanksgiving's over, but we're still grateful. And we're going to be grateful tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And Lord, we know that the greatest gift was God's wrapped gift. And it's the gift that just keeps on giving. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And we're honored people that you've chosen to open your word to us in these closing moments of time. Now pray, Lord, that in my feeble way, that you would help me to pass on the love of God to this dear group of saints. And I pray, Lord, that the focus would be on your word and not the person. And I pray, Father, that you would touch hearts and heal broken spirits, Lord. Anyone who might have a burden that's too big for them to carry, I pray, Lord, that this little message may lift them up, may cause them to take new courage and new hope. And I pray in these things in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Show us the Father. I'm going to try to hold this thing and manipulate the papers down here at the same time. I'm not used to this, so, but that's okay. You need to be able to take a little new territory every now and then. The verse says, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, I looked at a couple other translations, and one said, we'll be content, for that's all we need. Another one said, show us the Father, and we won't ask any more. Now, the way that I understand this, Philip just started an ism, ISM. And that's my topic for the next few moments, is what is an ism? All right. So we want to look at that little suffix, ISM. Now, Philip said, it sufficeth me. In other words, that'll be good enough. Well, he said us, but I'm going to make it a little more personal so the acronym works a little better. ISM, it sufficeth me. All right. He was saying, now, if you... If you will just show us the Father, the Lord had been speaking to them of the Godhead, and he had been talking with them and showing himself. And here Philip says, well, you show us the Father, that's all we need. Right there, he started an ism. It will suffice. I'll be all set up then if you just do that for me. Now, Jesus replied and he said, Philip, how can you say that? It's kind of the equivalent of, are you kidding me? You're asking to show us the Father, and I've been with you this long, and you still don't understand the Godhead. Are you still looking at two-ness or three-ness or four-ness or whatever it might be? Do you still not understand that I and the Father are one? So the Father had been right there. Well, I started to say plain view, but it may not have been plain to everybody, but he'd been right there all along. And here Philip was saying, show it to us, show it to us. But the problem that he had was, that'll do us. We'll be good then. Just show us the Father, and all will be well. But you know, the way I understand it, by what measure you drink of this fountain, you will thirst again. So the more we partake of him, the more we will have a desire for. And we can never exhaust the river of life. We can never exhaust the supply of the water of life. And he is that water. His word, he and his word are one. So he is that water. So here we have heaven ism. You show us the Godhead and we'll be all set up. So it takes more than just seeing the Godhead to make God the head.
All right.
It takes a lot more than that, because there are tens of thousands of people who supposedly understand the Godhead, but he's not the head.
All right.
They've turned into an ism. Well, it's kind of a paradox, really, because the Godhead, you know, we talk about mysteries being revealed, but I think Scofield talks about there's an element of mystery that still remains despite the revelation. I have to admit that it kind of flabbergasted me when I tried to take in the doctrine of the Godhead. It's just amazing. It's kind of like trying to figure out infinity. You just can't do it.
Amen.
So I'm glad that God kind of leaves us in the dark sometimes. I mean, we're not going to see everything, but we're going to see everything that we need. We're going to see everything that's necessary for us.
Amen.
And it's up to him to do it. You can't teach anybody revelation. You can't educate yourself. You can't educate yourself into the Holy of Holies.
Right. Amen.
You can't do it. You can't learn that. No seminary can give it to you.
Right.
I spent a little time in one of those myself, and I got two or three things that I brought away with me, but it was a short list. But, well, I won't go there. But now, I actually believe that Philip was saying, show us the Father and we'll be content. That's all we'll need. That's enough for us. But actually, that was just the beginning.
Right.
It was the foundation. Of course, it's the foundation of what you and I believe today, is understanding the Godhead. Now, I want us to look at a couple of prominent isms. I want us to get a bit of a picture of what an ism is. what an ism really is. So we could take the word legal, and we all like to be legal. I mean, we've got speed limits, we've got stop signs, you've got a legal limit on your car window tint and all those things. So we have to be legal, but in the religious realm, it's things like don't cut your hair, don't drink, don't smoke, go to church, read your Bible. All those things are kind of the legal things that we automatically know that we should do, and any true Christian's going to do it, but we don't rest on that. We don't rest on our laurels. We don't go to church to find favor with God. We go to church because we already have favor with God. And anything that we do for Him, it's out of gratitude for what He's already done for us. You don't earn your way into grace. You don't work your way into grace. It's all God and God alone. And if anybody should know that, it should be this old guy. Because I've still yet, it's a wonder. You know, we talk about signs and wonders. My, it's a wonder to me that God chose a fella like Arnie. And I'm not saying that to try to sound humble. I'm saying that because I mean it. I'm saying that because I know it's the truth. So we go to church because we already have favor with God. Now, I'm not certainly not up here trying to make myself somebody. I'm up here because I already am somebody. Right. And he's the one that says that. His word says that.
Yes.
And as I read the message on the page and even between the lines, I see that he's already made me somebody.
Yes.
No religion could do this for a person. No ism can do it for you.
Right.
And I've read my name in between the lines over and over again. I like what Brother Branham said about his wife. While we're on the topic of wives, I just want to say, like Brother Branham said of his wife, if there's any credit to go to the Byrd family, let it go to Alice. And I really mean that. She's stood by me for over 45 years now, and that's grace right there. It's a miraculous grace. And I want to thank you, Alice. You all bear with me. I apologize for acting like a baby up here and so forth. But the Lord just dealt with me today, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I nothing in my hands I bring, simply to that cross I cling. And I said, I don't feel like I have anything. And I was telling Brother Nathan before the service, we just can't go by our feelings. We just can't go by our emotions, as good as they may be at times. You don't go by that. Because I used to get emotional at a ball game. So it's not about emotions. There's times you can step into the pulpit to bring a message from the Lord, and you may not feel a bit more saved than a mongoose, but God says that you're in His favor and that you're in His care, and that's all that I can lean on today.
Amen.
I don't go by my emotions. Now some people might find this a bit baffling, but I'm just as emotional as anybody in this church. What I mean by that is, now, I have just as many emotions as anybody does.
Right.
I have an emotion of joy. I have an emotion when I come into church. I have an emotion of reverence. I have an emotion of peace. I have an emotion of courage when we're leaving the service. Quite often the word gives you courage and strength to go on. Those are emotions too. Now I'm just, the difference is I'm just not as demonstrative as other people may be. But I have those same emotions. Now, Brother Nathan and I, we're on the same old ship of Zion, but we're different. You know, he might jump 2 feet, and I might just wiggle 2 feet. But we're still enthused about the same thing. And I had misplaced that word enthused for quite a while. And then Brother Trevor was speaking some time ago, and he mentioned the word enthused. And I said, there's that word I've been looking for, because we keep thinking about getting excited. You know, we can, any good preacher, any preacher who's worth his salt can get the people excited. You can do it. Now, Brother Nathan has a real knack for that, if he so desires. Now, I'm not saying that he does that. I don't believe that he tries to whip people up, like Brother Branham talked about. People can get whipped up. That won't bear much fruit. But I like the word enthusiasm, and it doesn't have an ism on it. It has an asm. But Brother Branham did say, so this little message has a happy ending, because he did say, all these isms are going to become wasms. And that's what I look forward to. All the isms in my life, things that I cling to that aren't founded on true faith, I want to shake them loose and stand on nothing but the living Christ and the living Word. And Brother Branham said, "It's nowadays it's God with us, God in us, and God through us." That's the love and the grace of God going forth. God with us, God in us, and God through us. You may not think that you're doing much. The devil tells all of God's people that. You may not think you're accomplishing a whole lot, but you just never know what your life is saying, what you're doing for somebody else. And Brother Branham, he did say something of the sort, but I meant to say, God is never going to let you know and be aware of all that he's doing through you. He just doesn't do that. Sometimes I wish, Lord, will you let me see a little more? And if he doesn't say nothing, I say, well, I guess I asked the wrong thing. But if we were able to see all of what God does to us, we'd have the big head all the time. So I'll just take what God gives me. There's times when you really need a little shot in the arm, and God's taking care of all that. He knows what we need and when we need it and so forth. But we're immature in a lot of ways, or at least I am. I think we're all alike in that respect. We kind of like to see what God's doing, and we like to see fruit. We like to see results. But what's going on behind the scenes is more important than what we see in a whole lot of cases. So anyway, now, being legal is good as long as we don't fall prey to Phariseeism. Legalism is a rattlesnake. It'll sneak up on you before you know what happened. But the Pharisees, they were real big about keeping all the laws. They even went so far as to not frown on the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees all wore a smile. And I heard someone explain it like this: it takes less muscle exertion to frown than it does to smile. So that was the day that the Pharisees all smiled because they did less work. See, no work on the Sabbath. That's how far they went. They tithed on the little mint. They tithed on the least smallest little vegetable, every grain that they had in their harvest. They tithed on everything. They made sure that they dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's. But when you get caught up in legalism, when you get down to the end of the row, you look back and 10 other things have sprung up that we can't deal with. Legalism is a rattlesnake, and grace is the only thing that can inoculate us against that toxic venom. So my only message is grace. God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's one ism. Legalism. Let's look at materialism. And we all need material things. I could spend, I told Brother Nathan earlier that I've probably got enough material for one of the series like he does. I'm going to try to give it to you in one night. But materialism, now it's okay to have things. You've heard it said, if the things don't have you. And we all need housing. We need vehicle to drive. We need clothes to wear, all those things. But let me remind you of something that Brother Branham said that's always helpful to keep in mind. Happiness doesn't consist of how much of the world's goods you own, but how contented you are with the portion that God has allotted to you. So I can only touch on this because I've got quite a bit that I want to get to. So you pray for me that the Lord will help me to forget what I should and remember what I should. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. It's obvious to us all what a big role the almighty dollar plays in TV and radio evangelism. It's a business, for goodness sakes. Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland, I don't mind to name some names, and some others I don't, but it's a business. They are false prophets. Because you can give them the word test and they don't pass muster. But Ecclesiastes 5:10 is a real blockbuster of a verse of scripture. Now, this is real good for any of us who are troubled by materialism. And I know all of us are faced with it from time to time. Some of us more than others. But the Bible says, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Now what that means is, if you're materialistic, if we allow materialism to get a hold on us, you can never have enough. Your life will be like a bottomless pit. No matter how much you're able to accumulate, it will never, ever be enough. If there's a little voice saying to you that if you were able to acquire a certain amount, that then you would be satisfied. I want to assure you where that little voice is coming from. It's right. Coming from the booger man. And Brother Branham only used that word once, but that was enough. But nonetheless, we know who the booger man is. Don't ever listen to that little voice that says, if you can just get a better this and a better that and a bigger this, bigger that, then you will be satisfied. It doesn't work like that. I know I've heard Brother Nathan talk about his boys on the way home from visiting someone with maybe a bigger house. They'll say, why don't we get a house like theirs? My little, well, she's not little now, but my daughter Roxanne, those of you who are familiar with our little cottage, when she was small, she would go up to her grandmother's, and she had a big basement up there. And so Roxanne was always wanting me to make her a basement in our house. I said, well, I don't know. The floor would certainly fall through then because it's pretty close now. But Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So don't listen to that little voice. You know, there were two men who made a little agreement together. They said, if I win the lottery, I'll split it with you, and vice versa. So sure enough, one of them won the lottery, and the next day there was a knock on his door, and it was his buddy reminding him of that little agreement that they had made. So the guy who won the lottery said, well, I know we did say that, but have you ever heard of the old saying that money does strange things to people? So that kind of showed him where he stood right there. The rich young ruler thought, if I can just get bigger barns, bigger houses, better this, better that, if I can accumulate, I'm going to accumulate enough to where I can have plenty to last me for years. That's what his vision for himself was. But little did he know that before the night was over, his bedfellow would be a guy named Rigor Mortis. And that shows you just how quickly the tide can turn. We might think we've got everything all in order, got all of our little ducks in a row, and then all of a sudden, something earth-shattering takes place. The rich young ruler thought if he could just accumulate enough that he could take his ease. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. We never want to fall prey to a false contentment or a false security blanket. There's no amount of money that could ever make a greedy man satisfied. No amount of money that could give someone contentment who's caught up in materialism. And you only keep what you give away. This isn't a fundraiser, but I found that to be true. You only keep what you give away. I think Martin Luther said, I've held a lot of things in my hands, and I lost them all. But the things that I placed in his hands, those things I still possess. Amen. Isn't that good? The rich young ruler is a sad, sad story. He didn't realize that before the night was over, that the stiffness of death would have overtaken him. So, a word to the wise is sufficient. You know, I read a little story about a couple who were going to put their house up for sale. And so they had a real estate mogul, you know, write up a real magnetic description of their property and the house and how many rooms and how big the yard was. And the next day they looked at the paper and read that. And then they looked at each other and said, hey, that's just what we've always wanted. So the answer was closer than they had thought. And I don't know how many times that I've, in my many decades, I don't know how many times that I have thought that the answer was just right around the corner. And I had a mental image of that in my mind, and it turned out it was totally wrong. There's another ism called, I call it Googleism. That's basically what that is a know-it-all. The guy who knows it all. And Brother Branham described our situation in this hour. He said, the attitude of this age is exactly what it was then. People have it all. They know it all. They cannot be taught. God help us. Pity the man who cannot learn. There was a song years ago that said, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Now, I used to be worried and concerned about people who had never heard the gospel. You know how they have those theological questions in the books and so forth. It was, what about the people who've never heard? But then Brother Branham pointed out that there is an element of people who are willful blind. They are blind because they choose not to see. And that clears up a whole lot. That took a little burden off of my back, because there is none so blind as those who will not see. Of course, you know the type, the know-it-all type. Anything you say, they've been there, done that. If you say you climbed Mount Everest, they've done it on crutches. That's how bad it gets. And I want to say to you young people who are in school, I know the younger people have a lot of temptations that us older folks don't have to deal with. But don't ever be a know-it-all. Don't ever be a show-off. The kids might laugh at you. I tell my little grandson Leo, Roxanne's little boy, I tell him, he has a tendency wanting to be a show-off, and he gets in trouble in school like that. But I said, Leo, you might get a laugh, but they won't respect you when night comes. You might get a lot of attention. People will laugh, but that doesn't mean that you have character. And it doesn't mean that they respect you. And I was giving him a little lecture just to show you a little bit of this know-it-all. I was giving little Leo a lecture one day, and he said, Papa, I'm 10 years old. I said, oh my goodness, I'm 10 years old? I don't need you telling me all this stuff. I said, well, Leo, honey, I'm 7 times older than that, and I need God to tell me things every day. Should be glad that somebody cares enough to point you in the right direction when you get sidetracked. But nobody likes a know-it-all. Nobody likes a person who shows off. And the guy that knows it all, I will risk life and limb to avoid that person, because it just arouses emotions in you that are not spiritual. I just have to admit that. When I was in Bible seminary 50-some years ago, a fella had a little plaque on his desk, and it said, "He who knows, knows how little he knows." He had three big K-N-O-W-S. All you saw was the big nose, 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 and then the fine print explained it to you. He who knows, knows how little he knows. And that's exactly the way it is with the Word of God. When we get to thinking that we're somebody, when we get to thinking, if a guy like me were to think, well, I'm twice as old as Brother Nathan, so I must be twice as smart as he is. And I must know twice as much as he is. Well, there's a saying that says there's no fool like an old fool. So I was texting Brother Nathan a few months ago, I think it was. I said, the one perk with getting older, if you're walking with the Lord, your wisdom increases with every birthday cake that you see. And that's my prayer today, is that God will give me the gift of wisdom and that I will grow wiser as time goes on. And I don't worry too much about being an old man. I don't concern myself too much with that, as long as God gives me more grace and more wisdom with each passing day. Solomon was told that he could have anything that he wanted. I've often asked myself if I would have passed that test or not. I'm not so sure I would have. But in this hour, we have some tests that Solomon didn't have to face, too. Like a Laodicean age. But we're the bride, and we're enveloped in the bride age within an age. And that's what gives us the upper hand, spiritually speaking. And how glad I am for that. Revelation makes a great deal of difference. I'd rather have 1 ounce of revelation than all the book learning that you could get. Knowledge puffs up. But once we come under the grips of wisdom, we'll make the right decision. Solomon simply said, "Lord, I need you to show me the difference between right and wrong." I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. A man with his stature would say, "I just need to know what's right and what's wrong." And that's really a challenge for us today. There can be 15 or 20 good paths before you, but there's only one that's expedient. There will only be one that is the best way for you to take. That's why we need to pray every day that God's word would not only be a light unto our path, but a lamp to our feet. That means dealing with the fine print, so to speak. A lamp under your feet. I don't like to take a step without asking him, without having direction from God, because this is the darkest age that we have ever lived in. And Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Now, what do you think that meant mainly? Well, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Isn't that something? Of course, this being Laodicea, it's the age of people's rights. People are everybody's yelling, "I have my rights. I have a right to do as I please. The women, feminists, we have a right to do whatever we please with our bodies." Well, I beg to differ. You don't have a right. The Lord Jesus died and suffered and bled for you, the life that you that you have in you. You do not have a right to do as you please. Everybody has rights. And you get a good lawyer, and no matter what you've done, they'll make an excuse for it. Well, he was abused when he was a child. Well, hogwash. My, I mean, there's an excuse for everything. There's no such thing as sin anymore in America. I didn't think that I would ever live to see the day when people would have the crazy notion that they can do whatever feels good to them. That they can do whatever satisfies them. We don't have the right. I told little Leo again, I'm glad he's not here. I'd be embarrassing him. But I told him, I said, he said, Papa, you don't have the right to tell me what to do about such and such. I won't go into detail, but I said, Leo, I want you to understand, nobody has the right to do as they please. And I said, you'll probably think that when you get older, when you become an adult, you'll be free. Then you'll have liberty. You'll be able to do whatever you want. No, it doesn't work like that. It even gets worse when you get my age. You don't have the right to do as you please. Because I have my head filled with my own thoughts and my own ideas. But you have to lay everything at his feet. And he's the only one who can cause you to walk through life with humility. He's the only one that can give you wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong. We can do good things all day long, but the good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best. And the bride shouldn't go by all the good things that we do. The bride should operate under the law of expedience. That means what is best to do. That's why Brother Nathan doesn't come to this pulpit unless he's prayed and asked God, which one of these 10 subjects here do you want me to pass on to the people? If you start looking for a sermon, there will be 50 things pop up. All of them good. That's the tricky part, when everything looks good. But there's only one best. And we need his wisdom and his guidance to know the difference. We really do. I love him today because he first loved me. Amen. Eternal life is living for others. Amen. Somebody said a man wrapped up in himself is a real small package. Now I want to get into something that's a little more heavyweight, you might say. We have the word Pentecost, and we have the word Pentecostal, and we have the word Pentecostalism. And you know where I'm going with this, because the ISM is It Sufficeth Me. I'm still not dealing with this microphone very well. I'm going to switch course here because I just got to have both hands free so I can flail both arms if I need to. There's Pentecost and there's Pentecostal and there's Pentecostalism. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on anything, but I know the one who is. And I talk to him. And he talks to me. And that's the only thing that I can put confidence in today. I can't put confidence in no man's flesh. We can't put confidence in our learning or our ability to communicate. We can't put confidence in nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And resurrected. Amen. And living in this hour. He's come up off the pages of the book in these final moments of time to become real and vibrant in your life. Amen. And in mine. There's Pentecost, there's Pentecostal, and there's Pentecostalism. Now, I would be a fool if I were to say I have a right to comment on these things because I'm old. Because sometimes you get a little senile when you get old, and I'm trusting God to protect me from that. And he's done fairly well so far, but I don't hold my end of the bargain up sometimes. But if I were to say I have a right to talk about Pentecostalism because I can go back in my memory almost 70 years. My first memory is my dad coming to get me in the hospital when I was about 3 or 4. So I was one of 6 children. And I remember my dad coming to pick me up. I think I'd had diphtheria or something. I don't even know what that is, but I had that when I was a child. And he brought a little red wagon. He brought a little red wagon up to the hospital to pick me up. And my memory can go back to when I was a little boy and we lived in Jeffersonville, Kentucky. And my dad pastored a little Assembly of God church, which was Trinitarian Pentecostal. So I can say that I've been observing Pentecost and Pentecostal and Pentecostalism for almost 70 years. I can go back in my memory. Now, I wasn't always following God those years. I wish I could say that I walked with him for 70 years, but I didn't. But he never left me. I left him. Don't ever think God done you wrong. I've heard people say, well, God's unfair. Why does he allow all this death? Why does he allow murders? And why does he allow little children to suffer? As if God has done something unfair. And I loved it when I heard Brother Branham speaking of those little Jews and what they went through to get back to the homeland. Amen. The Holocaust. Oh my, those death camps. It was just unbelievable. It's hard for me to. I've watched film of it and so on, and it's hard to look at. But Brother Branham said it was the tender hand of Jehovah bringing them back to the tree of life. And every difficulty and every trial that you've gone through, and I know some of you in here, I've known you for a long time. And I know some of the things you've gone through, and I know some of the heartaches and the troubles that you've gone through. But Brother Branham said in the Church Age book that these afflictions and troubles and trials, he said they produced the Son of God in their midst. Amen. Not the revivals, not the fun, not all the food, fun and fellowship so much, but the difficulties and the tests and the trials that we go through. Right. And I've watched people, I've watched some folks in here grow from little pups up to mature men and women. And I'm so glad that I've had a small role to play in the past. And I'm so glad that you have somebody, some young blood, as they call it, like Brother Nathan, who loves and cares for you and is concerned. I'm so glad the way things have worked out. Because it could have gone a lot different. Could have been not pretty to look at, but God, amen, rich in mercy. Yeah. I love just reading the titles sometime of Brother Branham's messages. Yes. God, rich in mercy. Yes. God, hiding in simplicity and showing himself in the same. That's why the theologians miss it. Because they're trying to figure it out. You don't put God in a test tube. And you don't put him through your little thoughts and ideas up here. It just don't. It just won't work. And Brother Nathan and I, our viewpoints are different on some things. There's a spectrum of truth. It's kind of like this. And over here is the right and left. And I'm not talking about political positions, but you got the right and the left, and it's a spectrum of truth. Now, some things, I might be over this side, and Brother Nathan may be over this side. And our views might be different. But they're not in opposition. Amen. I've said to Brother Nathan before, remember the little song, Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor? It was altogether different, but they were not in opposition to one another. They were in harmony.
Amen.
And that's what I asked the Lord to help me do. I see things different than Brother Layton does, and he sees things different than I do, and Brother Trevor. Brother Nathan mentioned it recently. There's no two ministers alike. God doesn't make cookie-cutter servants. God doesn't have cardboard punch-outs. There's no two men, no two individuals who are alike. There's no two snowflakes that are alike. Everybody's different. And just because you may not click with somebody else's personality, they're still your brother and they're still your sister. And God reminds me of that almost every day. Because we're so selfish within ourselves. We're living in these pest houses. Yes, there is a treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. But we still got these old pest houses that we're living in. The old Indian chief said, two natures beat within my breast. The one is vile. Well, it wasn't the Indian chief, but I'm sorry. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is vile, the one is blessed. The one I love and the other I hate. And the one I feed will dominate.
All right.
So we can make a choice. Like they asked the old Indian. He said, I got a black dog and a white dog fighting in my bosom. And they asked him, which one's winning? The one I feed the most.
Amen.
What you feed on is what you become. If you feed on the word, you become the word.
Amen.
And if we walk in the flesh, we'll pay in the flesh.
Right.
God's no respecter of persons. A respecter of persons is sin. I don't hold anybody's character or anybody's family ties or any of those things. I don't hold no man in respect because the Bible says that it's wrong. And Brother Branham said, the old drunk that comes in off the street and surrenders his heart to God has just as much grace as he did.
Right.
Yeah. That shows you what God's like.
Right.
I'm not that spiritual yet, but God's still working on me. I like that little song. God's still working on me.
Amen.
It took him just a week to make the moon and stars. Pluto and Jupiter and Mars or whatever. How loving and faithful he must be, but he's still working on me.
Amen.
You might think, well, Arnie, when you get to your age, you ought to kind of have your act together. No, it gets worse. Don't ever think it's because somebody's been around longer than you have that, well, they got things all figured out. No. When you get one thing figured out, God will put three or four more things in front of you. I love Brother Nathan like I love one of my own boys, but we have different viewpoints on things, and that's good.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, if a brother won't let me know if he's got some different views, I don't want him around me.
Right.
You don't want people kowtow to you. Brother Nathan doesn't want us brothers to kowtow to him and you know, see who can get over there quickest to wash his car on Saturday or whatever.
Nobody's tried yet.
You know, I read, speaking of, you know, like age and so forth. I was reading in some Indian folklore once that they say that an Indian brave is not really a man. Horrible. Say that an Indian brave's not really a man until his father passes off the scene. Well, I want to go on record as saying that's a big fat lie right there. Because I guarantee you that Brother Jerry wouldn't agree with that. And I guarantee you I don't agree with that. I've got two men, Jeremy and Greg. And Brother Jerry has Brother Nathan. If those guys aren't men, I'd like for you to show me one. And their father hasn't passed away yet, like the Indians believe. So Indian 0, Eagles 3. I like that. Now, Brother Branham said, I was cradled in the Baptist church, and I know what Baptist doctrine is. Now, I could say it like this. I'm not acting like I'm Brother Branham, but we're part of each other. So, but I can say it like this. I was cradled in the Pentecostal church, and I know what their doctrine is. I've seen methods and procedures that started off well. Look what started off at Pentecost. My, spoke in other tongues. They went out in the street, started speaking other people's language, preaching the gospel in a language that could be understood by the common people. See, there was all a large number of dialects, and these unlearned saints went out there and started preaching in a different language. They started preaching in an unknown tongue. Now, if I could stand up here and testify to Sister Vera in German right now, now that would be an unknown tongue right there. I just know how to say Gott segne dich. I think that means God bless you. But that's about it. But these people went out there and spoke other languages. They spoke in tongues. And we talk about going back to Pentecost. Now, let me tell you what I think that means. This is just my opinion. Other people may have a different opinion, but there is a right answer somewhere. Hopefully, we're close enough to get together on it. But on the day of Pentecost, something astounding and remarkable happened. The book of Acts is not about what the people did.
Amen.
The book of Acts is about what God did.
Amen.
And the day of Pentecost, I don't focus on exactly or entirely on what the people did.
Right.
I focus on what God did. What did he do that was so astounding on the day of Pentecost? Cause people to speak in tongues? Why? By the time Brother Branham got here, witch doctors were speaking in tongues, for heaven's sake. I've heard people supposedly get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, and they weren't a bit more saved than a mongoose.
Right.
I have been there and seen that.
Amen.
What happened on the day of Pentecost was that God, for the first time, poured himself into his church.
Amen.
That's what's remarkable about going back to the book of Acts. We go back, and what did they do? Well, the main thing, I believe, was they got in one accord.
Amen.
We can have differences of opinion, but we got to be in one accord when it comes to what God's doing for his little bride.
Right.
We can't have 10 different ideas. And the church can't have 10 different leaders. Brother Branham said, somebody's got to be the leader.
Right.
You couldn't have co-pastors in this church. What do you think it would be like if Brother Nathan and Brother Trevor or Brother Layton or Brother David back here, what if they were co-pastors? It wouldn't work. I know Brother Nathan well enough to say it wouldn't work. And I know Brother Hoover well enough to say it wouldn't work.
Right.
And I certainly know me well enough to say it wouldn't work. So it's not a co-pastor thing. It's somebody's got to be the leader. And we have to believe that the word of the Lord comes through the man. Young, middle-aged, or old, that matters not to God. I hope that no one ever feels that because they're younger that puts them in a tough spot in any way, because I wish I could be Brother Nathan's age again, and I'd bypass a whole lot of things that I partook of. I wish I could be Brother Nathan's age again so I could allow God to make me and mold me to a greater degree than I've allowed him to so far. So it has nothing to do with that. So I'm not acting as if I know more because I got more age. That's not scriptural at all. Now, I think that a lot of people have questions about Pentecostal and Pentecostalism. And Brother Branham, when his ministry really got into full swing, he had to face the entire Pentecostal movement. One man, head on. It only takes one man to do it. One man that submitted to God, and Brother Branham said, a man who won't be dogmatic. Now, there's another message right there. That's what I ran into when I was studying the last couple of days. I'd see one word, and I would start off trying to make a message out of that. And it just drives you to distraction. If you don't stay focused, I'd have to stop and get on my knees and say, Lord Jesus, quiet my crazy mind and let me focus on you and what you would have me to say. I only want to say the things that he has chosen. Only the things that he knows is best for the people. I don't know. A lot of you I know fairly well. Some of you I don't know very well. But I can say I love all of you. And that's only because of what God's grace has done in a crazy old man's heart. And I'll ever be grateful for that. But Brother Branham was kind, and he was gentle, and he was long-suffering when he faced the Pentecostal movement. I was living then. I was back there when the foolish virgins came for the oil. I was there. I was a young man in my early 20s. I saw when all the charismatic movement began, and there was booklets that came out that would say the Catholics and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Methodists and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and on it went. Then the Nazarenes and speaking in tongues and so forth. They didn't have enough respect for the move of God to even call it a Holy Ghost move. They had to call it charismatic, like that made it more attractive to the cultured and the elite. Those are the very ones who turned their back on him. They're the very ones who did not understand Brother Branham because he spoke the language of the common man. And I'm so glad that God chose a man from Kentucky. God set this whole thing up before the world even began. He knew that people in Kentucky was going to be looked down on and laughed at and made fun of. When I was up in Minneapolis in school when I was a young man, they would say, you're from Kentucky and you wear shoes? Yeah, I said, yeah, we even have running water down there. Indoor plumbing. When I was a little boy, now I'm going to sound ancient here, but when I was a little boy, my dad pastored a little church in Jeffersonville, Kentucky. He had 6 kids, and we had an outhouse. It doesn't make me any better than anybody else, but it wasn't fun. especially on Sunday morning. We take a lot of things for granted, I can tell you. We certainly do. A lot of the kids don't know what an 8-track, never heard of an 8-track. Most of them don't know what a cassette player is. But Cain's civilization ends up backfiring on. It's backfiring on this country and all around the world. There's problems that could come up through the computer systems and hacking and so forth that unimaginable. You get the wrong people in the right place and they could bankrupt a small country. There's nothing sure, nothing safe outside this living message that we believe and that we are experiencing in this hour. Now, the Pentecostal movement was the carrier of the seed. I don't ridicule the Pentecostals, but I could if I wanted to because I was one of them. I could ridicule a lot of things, but Brother Branham said that Pentecost was a carrier. She was a carrier of the seed. If you want to know what's shook, and what's true seed? You look in the field. One's standing up like this, and the other one's down like this. Right. Which one's got the seed in? Yes, sir. Not the ones that's maybe making the most noise, or the most happy, or the most joyful and free and all that. It's the one that's bowed low before him. That's where the seed is. Amen. You can always just look to see if a man has or a woman has a little humility. You only find God through humility. No matter how big shot old Naaman, he didn't want to go down and dip in the old muddy Jordan. Are you kidding me? The Jordan, that's the nastiest water in the country. Yes, sir. You don't have to just go down there, sir, but you got to not dip once, but you got to do it 7 times. Right. If you want him bad enough, you'll dip in the Jordan every day if need be. Amen. The Pentecostal movement today is going right on just like Brother Branham had not come. And those people declared that they argued with Jesus and they said that we are the sons of Abraham. If anybody should have the blessing of God, it should be us. And Brother Branham said, they were. Weren't they? Yes. Of course they were. They were until that word came and turned their little world upside down. Right. And then later on, the book of Acts talks about the Holy Ghost moving through some people. And the common folks said, here come those guys who turned the world upside down. Now, we talk about winning the world. The world ain't going to be won, for goodness sakes. You can't win the world. The world is lost. We got to get the gospel to every nation and in every tongue and so forth. Brother Branham said all you have to do is go to New York City. You could be preaching just about every tongue on the face of the earth. The Bible also says in the book of Acts that there was a time when the gospel was preached to every person in the space of 2 years. And there was no computers, no radio, no TV, no social media. It was lip to ear. If one person told 2 people the gospel, and those 2 people each told 2 people, this is each day, and then those 4 people each told 2 people. It would be, do the math. I haven't done the math, but in a few days, that would multiply to cover the earth as far as our population is concerned. Right. And you could do that if we didn't have to cross the pond to do it. You could do that just lip to ear. So we're not going to win the world. And we're not going to win anything. Because the Lord Jesus is already the victor. Amen. He's already the one that has won the battle for us. I shared a little message recently down at in Liberty that it's already done. And I took the thought from the little song that we sing here. It's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We spend so much time spinning our wheels trying to do things that have already been done. Are you guilty of that? I sure am. And I'm certainly not saying anything to anybody here tonight that I don't have some more fingers pointing back at myself. And I'm not up here trying to hurt anybody or offend anybody. I just feel like I'm telling you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I cut my teeth on a little pew in my dad's church when I was little. The only chewing gum that we had was ABC gum. Already been chewed. But that's what we would do during the week. Us kids would go in there and pull the gum off the bottom of the pews that other people had chewed. I know it doesn't sound very sanitary, but we weren't so sanitary conscious back in those days. But I lived through it. You know, we'd done without a whole lot of things, but we lived through it. But I'll always be grateful to my dad. He tried to find a place in the Pentecostal organization, the same organization that tried to bribe Brother Branham, so to speak. They wanted him to be their poster child, and he wasn't going to be anybody's poster child. He was going to visit the Pope, and then he found out that he had to bow before him and kiss his ring, and he said, "I think I'll pass." Amen. God bless him for that. I remember when I was little, I'd watch the sisters who were more demonstrative with their emotions and so forth. I watched them dance around the church and carry on until the bobby pins would go flying out of their hair. I mean, us kids, our main excitement was when we had a revival meeting. A new preacher would come into town and have a week of services. That was our entertainment back then. We didn't watch a lot of TV because we didn't have TV. We had a radio, and my dad used to put C.M. Ward, who was the main worldwide speaker for the Assemblies of God, put him on, and we got fun out of that. Boy, don't show these little Fortnite people that nowadays. That's one of the things I need you to pray for me, that the Lord will give me wisdom in dealing with Fortnite. I'd have never thought I'd had such a challenge with a video game. Virtue lies in the middle. We got to stay in the middle of the road. Pentecost turned into an ism because they didn't stay in the middle of the road. They got off on tangents and so forth. I respected those things that I saw when I was a little kid, and I still respect it if it's done in the right spirit. The problem was some of the gifts and so forth. Listen, Brother Branham said, the highest form of God speaking his message to his people comes from right here, preaching of the gospel. There's no other form that God uses to get his message across to the people. No higher form, as good as all the other things may be. You can put all the gifts together in one bucket, and it will not surpass your pastor walking up here, a man who has prayed and sought God and has a message on his heart from the Lord for the people. It doesn't go any higher than that.
Amen.
You put a tape on, it's still no higher than that. It's the same message. It's the same God doing the same thing. revealing himself to his little bride. So, I mean, we could go on. There's another message. See, I almost started on that. Brother Branham said the Pentecostals, they put all their hope in some of the gifts and so forth. And he said, what about the groanings that can't be uttered? When have we done that? Have you done that recently? Groaned? Isn't that the Holy Ghost praying through somebody? When you groan, sigh and cry for the abominations in the land, instead of whether we can get a better this or a better that. We just have to keep in mind that the book of Acts, like I said, is about the acts of the Holy Ghost. It's not about the people. We are not to perform a reenactment of the book of Acts. What we do, like I said earlier, we put ourselves in the position, get in one accord, so that we can relive the book of Acts, which is what? God pouring himself into his church. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, what about the baptism? I'm going to hurry along. I know it's getting a little late. But I hadn't been able to share with anybody for a while. You give Brother Nathan a little sabbatical for a couple, 3 months. And then when he comes in here on Sunday morning, you better bring your lunch.
Right.
How do you know? I have a feeling that there might be some people who are thinking, how do you know for sure that you have received the Holy Ghost? You ever wonder that? I'm sure some of the younger folks may. Now, in the beginning, back on the day of Pentecost, God did some remarkable and unusual things. But then, like I said, by the time Brother Branham came on the scene, witch doctors were speaking in tongues. People who weren't even saved were speaking in tongues. I had a relative of mine, kind of a law, in-law type situation. But the man called me one night when I was a young man, and he was drunk as a skunk. And the man began to speak in tongues. And even then, with the lack of revelation and understanding that I had, I said, this is something evil going on right here. That's why when Brother Branham came on the scene, he had to clean house and clear the temple. And he said that the word of God is no longer going to be in the hands of men. He said, my ministry is to declare unto you that he is here. Amen. God was taking over his church. And he was taking the authority out of the hands of men and taking charge himself. Now, True Message Church will have a pastor that realizes that. That it's God's doing this. It's not a man doing this. It's not a group of men. It's not the deacons. It's not the trustees. It's not the sisters or the brothers in the pew. It's God that's doing this. And he will not share his glory with anybody. Now, the Pentecostals, they were right until they got corrected by the prophet. And then when they decided to go right on doing what they were doing, there are two groups of people in the world today. One group who says, Lord, have it your way. And the other group to whom God says, okay, have it your way. Which one are we going to join up with? One says, Lord, have your way. The other one says, okay, go ahead. Do it your way. Hope I don't sound sacrilegious saying that, but that's about what it boils down to. You want to do it your way, he'll let you do it. He certainly will. Like I said, the Pharisees were calling themselves the children of Abraham, and they were until the Lord Jesus came and corrected the error. They chose to go right on. The Pentecostals misunderstood the word power. I was in a service over in Louisville at Brother W.L. Rogers Church years ago. And Brother Branham's Demas was there. Little did I know it at the time. But Demas Shakarin, Brother Rogers had Demas Shakarin in there speaking. And after he had sat down and Brother Rogers had talked for a while, they sang a song, and then there was a woman in the choir that looked like she was ready to go out trick-or-treating. She stood behind Demas Shakarian, and she said, "This man's got power, you all. This man's got power." And he was just flushed red. Little did I know that he was Brother Branham's Demas. Little did I know that here was a man who had done the same thing that Demas had done to Paul. Paul spoke well of Demas at one time, but later on he said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And some ministries today will tell you that Demas took his own life with a sacrificial dagger. But that's not true, because Brother Branham said Demas didn't go back. He didn't go back to the nightclubs. He didn't go back to the bright lights of Thessalonica. He went back to the churches, like Demas Shakarian had done. I knew nothing from nothing at that time. I was just going to church because there was some pretty young ladies there. That was basically what it boiled down to. Just be honest about it. He didn't go back. He didn't go back to the bright lights. He went back to where the people could say, "Oh, Brother Demas, come up here and sit on the front with us." Right. And then decades later, I realized that I'd seen the very same thing with Brother Branham's Demas. And Brother Rogers had Brother Branham in his services in Owensboro, Kentucky for two or three different segments of meetings. Brother Branham warned Brother Rogers about coming to Louisville, but there's different stories about that. He and his family said something different. Brother Branham had warned Brother Rogers, and Brother Rogers, the way he told the story was that God was just testing me to see if I would listen to him or if I would listen to a man. I knew Brother Rogers, and I grew up with his son, Bob Rogers, who stepped into inherited the kingdom over in Louisville after Brother Rogers died of a heart attack at the age of 60. Brother Rogers did, I know one thing that God had him here for. He performed my wedding with Alice. So even though a man had gone against, the advice of a prophet, God still used him in a lot of ways. He performed our wedding, and whether he was in God's perfect will or not, it worked, and it took, and it's still going over 45 years later. And I'm grateful for that. I've seen more take place over the years than I would like to have seen, but I've watched. I remember this thing about power. See the word power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and so forth. That word power is from a Greek word dunamis. Right. And I understand that our word dynamite comes from that. Amen. And the Pentecostals twisted that somewhat. And instead of power being what Brother Branham called it, which was authority. That's the power that the book of Acts is speaking about. It was authority, not a tornado coming through. I remember R.W. Shambach coming to Louisville when I was a young man. A lot happened when I was a young man. He pulled up in a big white Cadillac about as long as this church is wide. And I'm telling you the truth now. His hood ornament was a big pair of genuine steer horns. Some of you know R.W. Shambach, I'm sure. He was one of the powerhouse preachers. But I was there in the meeting at Evangel Tabernacle. And when he come on the stage, he stomped. And buddy, he was taken over, in other words. But boy, you better be ready. You better know what you're doing when you do that. Because the seven sons of Sceva, they heard Paul casting out devils in the name of Jesus. They saw people getting healed. They saw blinded eyes opened and deaf ears opened in the name of Jesus. And the seven sons of Sceva thought they would get them a little evangelistic association going, and off they went. And what happened? The first time out, they came up on a man who was possessed of the devil. And they said, "I adjure you in the name of Jesus." They had the power, see? So they thought. And the devil said, no, he said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." Right. Like they're going to get somewhere on Brother Branham's, on Paul's coattail. You're not getting anywhere on Brother Branham's coattail. You'll get somewhere by the hem of his garment. That's the only thing that'll take you anywhere. But the devil spoke from that man. He said, "I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who on earth are you?" And they flogged all seven of those brothers and they ran off bleeding naked. That's what a disgrace it becomes when you try to play church. Right, when you try to play like you've got the message and you don't. You'll turn up in a bad way. But R.W. Shambach, I remember him. I don't mean to mock him, but he was up there and he said, "Well, I've got the devil by the tail tonight." He said, "I'm going to kick him all the way through that window over there." And he went on and on. I was a young man, didn't know beans from potatoes, but somehow I thought, well, you could get your leg bit off like that.
Right.
Now that I've heard about the seven sons of Sceva, you got to be careful when you mistake authority for power.
Right.
See, Brother Branham said power comes solemn. It's not a big display. It's not about how loud we're talking. You can whisper the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can whisper that and every devil hears that.
Amen.
We don't need a megaphone to let him know who's who in this hour.
Amen.
So what do you do when you don't feel saved? You ever do that? There's times I don't feel saved, but you don't go by feelings. The Bible says, you know, we can feel one thing in our heart, and it may not be exactly right, but the Bible says if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart.
All right.
We don't go by our feelings. I'm going to wrap up here real shortly, Brother. Brother Nathan. I was there when the foolish virgins came to get the oil. I was living then. I saw that happen. I was a young man, 21 years old. I saw it happen all over the place. The charismatic renewal hit the Catholic Church. And we were very young in the faith at the time, but they had a meeting across the street at the Resurrection Catholic Church across the street from where we live. It was a charismatic meeting, charismatic renewal. Alice and I visited over there, and a woman walked up and she walked up to the microphone and gave this flattering word from the Lord for this Catholic priest, talking about how faithful he was to carry on the cause and yada yada. And then she sat down and he got up and he said, "Well, sure is good to get a word of encouragement from your boss like that." Okay, whatever you say, buddy. I stood in the Evangel Tabernacle, and I heard people say, I came there one night, and they had had a service the night before, and I heard people say things like this: "Brother Arnie, it was so good last night that the preacher didn't even get to preach." Do you see where you go when you lean on your emotions and your feelings and your excitement instead of the enthusiasm? When I was a little kid, we used to sing, "I got the Sunday school enthusiasm down in my feet, up in my head, down in my heart. I got the Sunday school enthusiasm all over me. I'll be here next week." That's enthusiasm, not excitement. I don't serve God because of the excitement he gives me. I serve him because he warms my heart and helps me to be human instead of a puppet. God doesn't have puppets. God doesn't force himself on anybody. That's called rape, isn't it? God doesn't overpower anybody. He offers you what's best. You can take it or you can die in the wilderness. I'm going to read you a little quote here. There might be somebody who's thinking, "Well, now I need to speak in tongues." Now, don't get me wrong here. I speak in tongues more than you all. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to tell you what Brother Branham said. If you want certain things your way, you know God's good enough to do that. He loves to make you happy. He is love, and his great love, and listen close to this, his great love constrains him to even step down. Did you get that? That's the prophet, not Arnie. His great love constrains him to even step down sometime to let you have the thing that you
want.
Oh my, I was afraid I was going to have to call on Brother Nathan to take over for me tonight. I know what Brother Layton was talking about last time he spoke. He loves you. Oh, he loves to make you happy. His love constrains him to even step down sometime to let you have the things that you want. Don't seek after gifts. Seek the giver.
Amen.
You will never go wrong like that. Brother Branham said you can get the gifts without the giver. And he spoke of unscriptural partaking of the blessings of God. God has certain laws that just about anybody can put into operation. He has certain laws. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Let me finish this. Thomas wouldn't believe. Oh, he's got many children today, but Thomas said, "No, I have to have some evidence." They told them that Jesus had resurrected. I won't believe it until I can feel those, until I can see his hands and put my hand in his side. I'm not going to believe it. I have to have some sort of an evidence to prove it. And Jesus appeared. He's good. He said, come on, Thomas, if that's what you want, well, here you are. You can have it. That's the way we are. We say, Lord, I got to speak in tongues. Brother Branham said some folks won't receive the Holy Ghost unless they speak in tongues. I got to speak in tongues. I got to shout. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you have it. God says, okay. Go ahead. I'll let you have it. Brother Branham said, he's good. Now, Thomas, you believe since you've seen Jesus, just Brother Branham quoting Jesus, but how much greater is their reward who has no evidence, no evidence, and yet believes it? There you are. That's where we must get to. How much greater is their reward who seen nothing but yet believe? See, I would need 2 weeks to clarify some of what I'm saying to you, but Brother Nathan's doing just fine with the people here, and I appreciate him a great deal. Now, Brother Branham said, I want to point out to you, then I'm going to close, how Pentecostal became an ism. Pentecostalism. They had to have everything that the Pentecostals had. And Brother Branham called the bride away from that. He called the bride away from the excitement into the enthusiasm. Here's what Brother Branham said. He said, that's where the Pentecost made a great mistake. They said, now he's referring to them getting all of their gifts that they wanted and having whatever they wanted to gratify their carnal nature in some cases. But here's what he said. They made a great mistake. They said, glory to God, we got it. That's all there is to it. Now listen to what Brother Branham's reply was. You get what I'm saying there. I don't want you to miss one word of this, of Brother Branham's reply to that statement. I quote, he said, no, 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 no. And that's a quote. You should be able to look that one up real easy. If the prophet of God said no, no, no to someone wanting manifestations other than revelation, then there must be something to it. When Jesus says, verily, verily, that means something. Absolutely, absolutely. When Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Oh, I don't want to hear him say, Arnie, Arnie. How long have I been with you and you still doubt? All right. I watched all of that deception as a young boy, and I've got to share this one verse of scripture. I'm not near finished. Brother Nathan said if I didn't get finished, I'd maybe come back some other time and finish. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Now the Holy Ghost ain't seen, is it? If somebody receives the Holy Ghost, you think you got to see it? He said faith is the evidence of things not seen. If you've received the Holy Ghost, and the devil tries to tell you you haven't, maybe because you didn't speak with tongues. Somebody say, What if I never spoke in tongues before? Well, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. I used to ride a bicycle. Now, is there anybody in here that can't ride a bicycle? Well, maybe, I don't know. But there are adults who've never been able to ride a bicycle yet. But they're still able to get in a nice motorized vehicle and drive it to church. You didn't miss anything. I was there, and I saw it. Ask the blind man, like the song says, ask the blind man. He saw it all. I was blind in a lot of ways, but I saw things that I never thought I would see, and it didn't make sense until now. Faith is the evidence. Now, here's what one translation says. Your faith is the proof of the things not seen. My faith is the proof that I have the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the Bible says, if you repent and you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you might receive the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know when I received the Holy Ghost? When I stood up out of that cold water at Branham Tabernacle, 1980, I received the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to do nothing. I was the one that did it. I received it because he said that. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you got to do this or that. You got to believe God's word. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. If there's anybody in here tonight and you don't know if you received the Holy Ghost or not, it is as simple as A, B, C. If God said that you would receive the Holy Ghost after you repent and are baptized, then there is no reason on earth that you need to leave this building without the Holy Ghost. You say, well, do I need to come down to the altar and have everybody lay hands on me and cry and this? No. You can do that if you want to. I love doing that. I'm not very demonstrative in church. But you should hear me in my car. You say, Brother Arnie? Brother Arnie would never shout. He's real conservative. Listen, I shout and rattle the windows in my little 98 Civic when I'm driving down the freeway. And if I'm talking to the Lord and I'll come up to a red light, that's why I like cell phones. I don't like to stop because I'm afraid Mr. Unbeliever over here is going to say, look at that old fanatic over there talking to himself. So I just take my phone out and say, Lord, I'm glad I didn't have to interrupt our conversation. This guy next to me probably thinks that I'm talking to somebody on the phone. And he's right. I'm on the royal telephone and I'm talking to the Lord Jesus. And I just go right on talking. And the Bible says to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I'm not afraid of somebody shouting. If my sister ever stops shouting, I'll jump off of a cliff somewhere. I've prayed for your little boy since before his daddy left. God knows where little John boy's at. God knows where your children are too, Sister Betty. He knows more about them than you do, and he loves them more than you do. Well, blundered again, but whatever. Do you love me? But I love you, and I apologize again, Brother Nathan, for taking so much time. But I could go on. I could. But I dare not. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you today because you showed us mercy. You've shown us grace. I thank you for these dear people, Lord. I pray that you'd give this little church everything they need. and a whole lot of what they want. And I pray, God, you'd continue to anoint Brother Nathan. It took a lot of courage to do what he's done in this area right here. I've seen a whole lot of water go under the bridge, and I don't believe I would have had the courage to do what Brother Nathan has done. But you didn't ask me to do that. You asked him to do it. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that if there's anyone in this building who doesn't know if they've received the Holy Ghost or not, all they have to do is believe that God is not a liar and say, I receive it this minute. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to cry. You don't have to jump. You don't have to shout. You just say, Lord, I don't believe you would lie to me. And I'm taking what's mine in Jesus' name. Let us walk in your love, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. And ask you to have your way in our lives, in our hearts. And help us to keep our minds and our hearts open to you. Give us wisdom, Lord. We don't know which way to turn. We're like little lost children, for goodness sakes. I don't know what to do tomorrow. I don't know which way to turn. But Lord, I trust my life to you. Thank you for my dear, precious wife. Greatest gift that you could ever give a man. We're undeserving, Lord, but if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in trouble. That would be justice. But grace gives us what we didn't deserve. Thankful for that. And we love you because of Jesus. Amen.
We stand together tonight. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
He's good to us, isn't he?
That's right.
Amen. I know it's a little later tonight, but I also know most of you don't have to work tomorrow because of the holidays. A lot of you are off till the first of the year, so I'm not going to keep you much longer, but just want to share a couple things with you. All these minister brothers here, we're different. Our personalities are different. Our gifts are different. But God has set in the church. And, you know, being the pastor, there's something about it. You know, when I guess when you're around sheep long enough, you can tell when they're hungry. You can tell when they're scared. You can tell when they're sick. If you're a real shepherd, you know those things because you're with the sheep. And so I, as a pastor, I can tell things about a congregation that a pastor. And when Brother Arnie said something earlier tonight, I could feel some of your spiritual toes turn up in your shoes like you were scared to death. So I'm going to settle you a little bit tonight and read you. I'll let Brother Branham say it for Brother Arnie, okay? What is a vision, 1956? Now I think, and I say this from my heart, this is Brother Branham speaking, now I think, and I say this from my heart, that the greatest and highest form that there is for God to give his message to his people is for the people to believe his word. That's right. That's the highest form. Preaching the gospel is the highest form. Then if you notice, the Bible places it that way. First apostles, secondarily prophets, and so forth. Then on down, and then into the nine spiritual gifts operating in every local body. Amen. Either we believe that or we don't. You can mark that off your I believe list if you want. I'm not going to. Amen. That's what the prophet said. I was just talking to a brother today about that, how the nine spiritual gifts operating in every local body. Brother Bram says that over and over and over throughout the message. But Brother Arnie and some of these brothers, Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, different ones, my parents, they came out of Pentecostalism, as Brother Arnie was talking about, where everybody had to do that.
Everybody, if Brother Waite spoke in tongues, then Brother Zion had to speak in tongues. And so they'd go over and bounce his jaw till he got to speaking in tongues. But if that's not a gift that God's placed in your life, you'd be no more able to do that and be in the will of God than one of these sisters could get up and preach that wasn't born or called to do that. The Bible tells us gifts and callings are without repentance. I can't give you a gift. Oh, I can give you a Christmas present. I can give you a loan. I can maybe buy you a used car if you don't have one. I could maybe scrape together some money or take up an offering. You know, we could give you a gift like that. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, Brother Branham said, people are born with those things. If you're a singer, he said, people, a real singer is born with that gift. A real preacher, a real missionary, many people, those gifts are born in people. Now, it takes the Holy Spirit to develop that gift. But you can't give somebody a gift and say, well, I'm gonna make Brother Stephen, he's gonna be our prophesier, and this brother over here is gonna be our wisdom, and this sister over here is gonna be our knowledge, and this brother over here is gonna speak in tongues, and this sister over here is gonna interpret. It doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And it's not none of those things are an initial evidence. Being able to preach like a house on fire is not the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We had a prophet come and teach us these things. The greatest news flash in history, Brother Branham said in 1961. He says, but oh, that message of the living God still lives today. Why are you so bewildered? I go before you. I'm not dead. I'm alive, he says, forevermore. But the bewildered, they become so bewildered till they try to organize some new ism. And it ain't long until that new ism is always, like always, becomes a wasm. They got latter rain and former rain and middle rain and this and that and other, some kind of organization, denomination. And what happens to it? It dies just like all organizations die, and they're bewildered. Well, now we don't know what to do. We've just got to get these people together. We got to separate ourselves from this group or from that group. Just still bewildered, not knowing what to do. They don't know the real Easter message. The real Easter message wasn't going to make organizations, was to go and preach the gospel, demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, and let him take the church into his hand. But they're still bewildered, don't know what to do and how. How sad in this age. We've had a prophet come and restore us back to the original truth, and people still bewildered. Don't know what to believe, don't know what to do, scared. What if I do something wrong? Go back to the Word and it won't be wrong. Amen. It's real simple. Take it back to the Word. When Brother Arnie gets up, when I get up, when Brother Layton gets up, Brother Hoover, Brother Trevor, don't be afraid. Oh, what if some brother says something and I get confused? Take it back to the Word. Take it. It's simple. Amen. You don't have to be scared. We've got if you was to go out here and you was going to test something, if some of you brothers that are electricians and things, if you was going to test something, you have a way. You plug those prongs into the outlet and it's going to read and tell you if it's reading right or not. If it's 110 or 220 or if it's a dead outlet, whatever it is, it'll tell you if it's reading right. Amen. We've got a way to test, the Word test. And it's going to come back every time, and it's going to give you peace about whatever it is that's troubling you. Take it back to the Word, and the Word will give you the balance on it. Amen. Amen. As Brother Arnie was saying, sometimes there's a span of truth, and maybe one brother's over here, and he's seeing it just and maybe just as right can be, but maybe there's more truth on that subject to be had. Amen. God brings us along different ways, different places, different stages in our life. We couldn't have received all this in one service to be where you're at now. Maybe you've been in the message 40 years. You couldn't have got where you was at just by coming in and hearing one tape or hearing one preacher. But God, in his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering, he brings us along little by little. Sometimes somebody, you know, maybe somebody's way farther up the road than you, and they say something that scares you to death. You think, oh, goodness, I don't know about that. And then you study and you pray and you watch and you wait and you think, oh, my, it's okay. It's in the Word. Amen. May God settle us with his Word and with his Spirit. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. There'll never be peace on earth completely until he's sitting on the throne as King of David. But we can have a peace as individuals in our hearts to know that we've done our part, that we've sought God and we've prayed and we've asked him, Lord, just help me with whatever it is. Maybe you've got things right now in your families, in your life. maybe friends at church or friends at other churches or things that it's just unsettled situations. Or maybe you're confused, maybe you're worried, maybe you're nervous. Maybe you got things facing you that you'd rather just turn and run from than actually have to deal with. But you can have a peace in all of that. How? Because Jesus Christ, He is our peace. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for an opportunity to gather together. Lord, we thank You for our brother, Lord. And we thank You for a message that brings balance to us. Lord, as a brother texted me the other day, and Brother Branham telling as he does so many times, he says there's one extreme and another, but yet right down the middle of the road goes the truth marching on. Lord, help us not to get caught up in every wind of doctrine or caught up in every little situation or every little outburst or every little thing that goes on around us or that would come up in the world or in the news or around the message or in churches, Lord. But help us to have singleness of heart with our eyes fixed on Calvary. Yes. Moving forward, looking for more of You in our life. Lord, if You aren't the center of everything we do, then we've missed out somewhere. No matter how right we become theologically, no matter how well we can argue doctrine, whatever it would be, Lord, if You're not the center of it all, then what's the use of it? But Lord, may You be the center of everything that we do. May You be the center of our homes, the center of our families, the center of our life. Lord, may our ambitions and our goals not just be focused on dollars and cents and 401ks, but Lord, may our ambitions and our goals be set on, Lord, how can I please You? How can I help Your people? How can I draw closer to You, Lord? Lord, we've seen You in times of financial struggles and in times of financial gain. You've always provided either way, Lord. So it's not just about how much is in the banking account, Lord, but it's are our hearts right with You. Help us to go out of here tonight closer to You than we was when we came in. Help us to go out of here, Lord, with a greater determination, Lord, as we're getting ready to go into a new year, that, Lord, the rest of this year and the coming year, that we'll serve You better than we have. Lord, that we'll be happier than we was this year, that we'll be more of an encourager than we was this year. Lord, help us. Use our hands, use our feet, use our lips. Whatever we have of Yours, Lord, that You've given us, that we can yield. Help us, Lord, to yield it to You so that You can use it, Father. We love You, Jesus. Be with us as we go our separate ways tonight. Protect each one on the roads. Bring us back again, Lord, as we worship You, Lord. Lord, may our worship be pure. May it not be an ism or a wasm. But, Lord, may it be focused solely on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why don't we sing it before we go? Amen. Is that your desire tonight? I want what You want. Not what somebody else thinks I need. Not what I think I need. I want what You want, Lord. Oh, I want what You want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be. Yes, Lord. Oh, 'cause I know that You know what's best. Said when you get that way, then His no's mean just as much to you, His yeses, when we can yield to Him. Oh, I want what You want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be. Oh, 'cause I know that You know what's best, my Lord. say, play that softly. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Sister Darla said, please pray for my mom. Sister Sizemore just went to the hospital with chest pains. Maybe some of you would have rather been at Burger King by now, but we might not have been able to unite as a body together to pray for Sister Sizemore if we had been. Amen. All things work together for good. God's timing's just right. Let's pray for Sister Sizemore tonight. That was your mother in the hospital with chest pain. You'd be wanting somebody to reach the throne of heaven and pray for her. Amen. So let's join together. The Bible said, wherever two or three agree is touching anything, that he'd hear an answer. There's more than two or three here tonight, so I know it's not about numbers, but let's join our faith together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for our sister, Lord, there she is in the hospital, chest pains, Father. Lord, no doubt Satan would try to take her life if he could, but we know that he can't do one thing without your permission, that he can't take her until it's your time, Father. So we join our faith together tonight as a group of believers, and we pray for our sister. Lord, as Brother Arnie was teaching us tonight, Lord, we don't have power. Lord, but we do have authority. Lord, it's not our power, it's not our might, but it's your spirit that does the work, Lord. It was your spirit that worked through him on the day of Pentecost. Lord, it's your spirit that's still here, present tense, in 2018. It's your spirit that does the work. And Lord, we join our faith, Lord. We bind our faith together for our sister. Lord, may this same Holy Spirit that we feel present here tonight, may you go to her bedside just now, or in the ambulance or the car, wherever she's at, right at this moment, Lord. May you go to her and touch her body and begin to heal her. Lord, we know it's a finished work at Calvary, but we claim it specifically for our sister, that there's healing, or that your blood atones for our sister, and that by your stripes she's already healed. Lord, may the symptoms begin to fade away. May the cause begin to fade away, Lord. May the doctors be astounded. Lord, maybe they've already got devices and all kinds of tests running on her, Lord. Maybe it looks negative. Maybe it looks like there's problems. But Lord, right now, may the Holy Spirit go and change the situation. May the doctors even testify that they don't know what it was except to give you the glory. We know you're more than able, Lord. We believe together and we agree together for our sister. Protect each one as we go, Father. Keep us safe, Lord. Satan's going about as a roaring lion, trying to destroy, trying to divide. But Lord, may you just protect your little bride. Lord, come quickly and take us home. We love you, Lord. We worship you tonight. We thank you and we believe for our sister, for a testimony in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it together as we go. Greet somebody. Tell them that you love them in the Lord. Amen. If you know somebody that's going through something, tell them that you'll be praying for them. And don't just tell them, but then go and pray for them. Amen. We all need prayer. We all need encouragement. Let's sing it. Oh, I want what you want for me.